Good morning to you, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome into the Common Workspace Studios, where we are live here, Tipping Point, with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Today has turned out to be somewhat on purpose, and pieces of it not, but it's worked out well. This is our tribute this week on the program, our kind of remembering, our never forgetting, a reflection on September 11th, 2001, as we approach this weekend, the 20-year anniversary. Do you remember where you were that day? How did your world change? How has our world changed? I'll share in a minute some recent polling shows that most Americans, most of you listening, the conversation we'll have today is the answer to those questions is yes, and there are very definite and specific answers to those questions. We want to hear them on this show, 520-790-2040. Give us a call today through about 9:40. It's an open phone line, an open conversation. Where were you that day? How did the world change? How has our world changed? Were you there? I've talked to some folks who remember they were there. They were living in New York. They were visiting New York in the days leading up to it and on that day and have memories. I hope they're listening. Hope they call in 520-790-2040. First and foremost, good morning to you, Matt. Thanks in advance for making the magic happen today on the show.
Morning, Zach.
Matt is the voice you'll hear when you call in, 790-2040, getting you queued up. And then at the end of the hour, and then we'll jump in here, FC Tucson has a game on September 11th honoring first responders. Jason from the team is going to call in and share about that. I think it's going to be a great time of community and remembering and celebrating together. Again, this 20-year anniversary, reflecting together, probably a better term. So that's our show today. I'm looking forward to it. We cover a lot during the week. Wanted to take a moment and reflect on this 20-year anniversary. You know, Matt, an opinion writer for the New York Times put it this way, and I'll share a few thoughts. Let's queue up your phone calls, 520-790-2040. An opinion writer, Charles M. Blow. He's been writing for the Times since 2008. He wrote a piece called "Our Children Will Never Know the Innocence We Knew." And his final paragraph is this: "People of my generation will never know again what my children's generation only tasted, an innocence and obliviousness about threat and danger. We all are covered forever with a bit of the ash from those towers." And I think, Matt, that loss of a feeling of innocence and safety, and I think wide-eyed optimism in the world that I think was to a large degree felt. Certainly, I was you know, a child at the time, and I remember it vividly. And certainly, those who were even younger than me are growing up in a world where they're called the homelanders, where they view the world more skeptically and more dangerously than before. And I think there is that felt sense, Matt, that the world has changed and the world will never be the same again. I want to go to our phone lines in a minute, but check out some of these statistics. In a USA Today Suffolk University poll done late August, early this month, 60%, a wide margin, 60-38, said 9/11 changed Americans' lives together. This is amazing. By 22 percentage points, they say the attacks permanently changed the way Americans live. Here's something that's interesting, and then I promise I'll get off this and go to the phone lines. On the first anniversary in 2002, 54%-45% of Americans polled said that these attacks permanently changed the way we live. On the 10th anniversary in 2011, that was a 17-point margin. 58% of Americans in this survey said that the 9/11 attacks permanently changed the way Americans live. Today, it's now 22 percentage points. And I think this is interesting because as time goes on, we don't feel less the impact of 9/11 That's the story that I see out of those numbers. As time goes on, we actually feel more and more like those attacks on 9/11 20 years ago permanently changed the way Americans live. It's getting more, not less. And 72% of those under 35 see permanent changes. Let's go to our phone line. Randy is on the line. Randy, thanks for calling in, 790-2040. You're live and on the air. Where were you on 9/11, and what's changed in our world in your mind?
Good morning, Zach. Nice to be on your show. I was living and working in New York on 9/11. And I worked on 18th and 5th, so about maybe a mile and a half from the World Trade Center. And I got into the office around 8:30. And my team, one of my designers, came in around like 8:50. And she said, World Trade Center's on fire. And I was like, really? And we went on CNN.com, and we could see like a plane had flew into the towers. We assumed it was like a small plane. It was a tragedy. There must have been a pilot who had a heart attack or something. And we went down to the front of our building, which was on Fifth Avenue. And if you look down Fifth Avenue, you could see the tower was on fire and the smoke coming out. And then we went up to our conference room and they had turned on the TV. And then you saw the second plane hit. And there were so many moments that day where your perspective just shifted. I'm getting like goosebumps even just thinking about it, because it was very clear that it was not an accident. And then an hour or so later, you know, we're watching and the tower fell and we're all standing there. And it was one of those things you were like watching on TV, but it was so close to us. You know, we didn't know what to do. We had to all stay in our office. We were trying to make sure everyone was there, counting the people. We had friends working in the building, in the towers, and my friend's husband. The cell phones weren't working because everyone was trying to contact everyone. And luckily, he was okay, but it was, you know, it was chaos. And then you're just blinking, trying to, like, there's no way that that whole tower is gone. You know, you saw that tower every single day. And then the second one, it was extraordinary. And at the end of the day, you know, none of the planes were allowed to fly and none of the cars were allowed to come in. So I lived on the Upper West Side and the subways weren't working. So I walked home with a friend and the sky was so blue and clear. Like in Tucson, we see that every day. In New York, you don't see that every day.
Right.
It was so clear and so blue, and New York was so quiet. Like, I can still feel the blue and the quiet.
Randy, you lived in New York that day. I really appreciate your call. Since you were there and you lived in New York, I wanted to get your thought on this. I referenced this opinion piece by a writer for the New York Times. I think his name is Charles Blow. Our children will never know the innocence we knew. It's a recent opinion piece. He writes this paragraph. He was about 3 years into his job with the Times on the day of the attack. He said, in one meeting in the New York Times newsroom on the day of the attacks, I heard an editor make the analogy that it was like one of the arms of the city had been ripped off. But she was wrong. This was not an attack on a limb, but on life, on the heart of the city and the country. You were very near ground zero on that day. You lived in New York from New York City. Is that an accurate statement? What's been the impact here before we let you go? What has been the impact on the city, on this country in your mind in the last 20 years from 9/11?
Well, I think a few things. I mean, first, in the weeks after, it was this open, gaping wound. I mean, you know, the smoke was still emanating from Ground Zero for a long time. You could see it. Like, I went home to Long Island to my parents, and when I went down to the beach, like, you could still see the smoke coming up from Manhattan. Like, so it was this wound, and it was, in a sense, lost, because as a country, we had not really experienced that in decades and decades. You know, if you live in Europe, if you live in the Middle East and Israel, like, they're used to terrorist attacks. And we had not been used to that. So, I mean, it was extraordinary how New Yorkers came together, you know, the day after. There were hundreds of us waiting in line to give blood because we thought there were going to be survivors who needed blood. I mean, hours and hours we waited, but it brought people together. I think it changed a lot because I think it was the beginning of willful misinformation from our government. I guess not the beginning, but it hadn't been done in a while, going into Iraq and using 9/11 as a justification for that. It was a shift to foreign terror and a shift away from focusing on domestic terror. So, you know, there was a loss of innocence. But from a New York standpoint, there was an incredible bonding and coming together.
Wow. Randy, I appreciate you listening and calling in today. Really this kickoff. I think we all can remember where we were and what it felt like and what we have seen in our country, you know. But of course, I'm always fascinated by folks who lived there, were there that day, even the week before, and can. I have a friend of mine who posted a picture this week. I think it was the day before the attack of her in front of the trade towers, and it's eerie and chilling every time. To just look at that 24, 48 hours, what changed. Randy, I appreciate your call, and thanks for listening.
Always great to speak with you, Zach. Thank you.
Thanks, Randy. That's what we are doing on the air. Where were you that day? How has your life changed? How has the life of America changed? The statistics, the data, the numbers show that the majority of us, more now than even the year and the 10 year after 9/11, believe that there has been major change and can remember, often with goosebumps and chills, what was going on that day, 9/11. We're going to go to our first quick break of the hour. When we come back, we'll keep going with your phone calls for a couple more segments. A reflection and a tribute we will never forget, 9/11. FC Tucson closes us out. Their game this weekend, supporting and celebrating first responders in tribute and reflection of 9/11. We'll be right back here on 10:30 The Voice. Tipping Point with Zach returns. Don't go anywhere.
Local and national politics, the issues that matter to you. 10:30 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more.
Helping you make better money decisions is what the Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning again to you. We are in our show today, really that is a tribute to and a reflection of 9/11. The 20-year anniversary is this Saturday. And I shared some numbers. I won't keep repeating myself, but an interesting survey done mid to late August of this year tracking Americans' view of 9/11 over the years. And I'm fascinated to see that the further away we get from 9/11, the more Americans across the generational spectrum who were alive in that moment, the more they say that it was a moment that changed them and changed the country. And I think in some ways, I would have expected that distance heals wounds and creates shifts in public opinion. And certainly the data also shows Republicans and Democrats look at this issue in relation to COVID, climate change, January 6th. Interesting comparisons of big events in the last 20 years compare differently, but together Americans sense that this was a transformational moment, and probably mostly not in a good way for America and Americans. The further we get from 9/11, the more distinct that impression becomes. And I think that's fascinating. This is our show. It's our live show. Give us a call, 790-2040, up until we meet up with FC Tucson, rather, at the end of the hour. We're taking your calls. Where were you that day? What do you remember? How did it change you? How did it change our country? Matt, I shared my answer to that question on yesterday's show, so I won't repeat it today, but I don't think you and I have talked about this yet. Where were you? What changed? What happened to America after 9/11?
Well, first of all, I visited the World Trade Center in 1988. I took a vacation to New York. It was spent about a week there, enjoyed it so much. And I spent quite a bit of time actually at the World Trade Center. I shot probably a roll of film. I was just fascinated with these twin towers. You know, I'd always read about them as a kid in grade school. So when I finally had a chance to visit, I was just fascinated. I took the tour of it. I took the elevator to the top, took pictures from the base. It just was fascinated with it. You know, then fast forward all those years, probably like most people, I had the radio on that morning. I was just waking up, and the top of the hour news was that a plane had crashed into the World Trade Center, and they had kind of portrayed it as a small, quote unquote, small plane, not a 757 or a 767. So they basically portrayed it. There's a plane that's flown in, and there's a fire, and you know that's news, right? Obviously. Then, you know, shortly thereafter, they said a second plane has flown in, and like everybody else, you realize that, okay, the first one wasn't an accident, neither was the second one. It's really changed. I remember going into work, and just the people on the roadway were unusually courteous, and then getting into work and just having a lot of people call me and saying, what are things like at your work? Or are they shut down? Or are they telling people to go home? You know, so a lot of people called, but just the realization that something really, really bad had happened. And then of course the news comes out about the Pentagon and the Capitol. They were on alert at the Capitol, which we now know the plane in Pennsylvania at Shanksville was bound for the Capitol. So just shock. Just the sobering reality of an attack on the mainland United States. And then just the galvanizing of the community, the galvanizing of the city. The 9/11 flag that was done over at Tucson Electric Park in the aftermath of that, and just how everybody seemed to come together in the immediate aftermath and for some time afterwards to in goodwill. And how can we help? You know, how can we help? How can we help the hurting? How can we help the victims? How can we help the country? You had young people enlisting because of this to serve. So those are my recollections of the time.
790-2040, by the way, is your call-in number. We've got a few minutes here and then a few minutes on the other side of our bottom of the hour news break. We're taking your calls. If you care to share, we'd love to hear where were you, what changed for you, what changed for the country. It's our tribute and reflection show, 9/11. Matt, you know, if you're able, I know you're managing stuff over there. I'd love to get your quick thoughts on, I kind of see 2001, right, as this pivot point between the Bush-Clinton years, so to speak, and maybe even the Reagan years there, to the Bush-Obama and then Trump years. It really does seem like there was a shift in America there. Do you agree? And what felt different to you, you know, having lived through both of those phases, I'd say?
I guess all I can say is politics is always going to create some acrimony. And of course, we saw a lot of that over the last 4 years. We saw a lot of that for the 8 years before that. I guess the only thing I want to say is everybody seemed to be pulling the rope in the same direction. And I guess that's all I want to say really about that in the immediate aftermath.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and, you know, I think there's this idea that there was an innocence and obliviousness about threat and danger. You know, our caller Randy mentioned there's kind of a shift from domestic to foreign, you know, but I also don't want to make mountains out of molehills either, Matt, or to dramatize a memory. I think you can do that, but it just does seem to have catalyzed a new American moment. Would love to take your phone calls, 520-790-2040. Give us a call. I know folks are messaging in, emailing in, calling in. That works as well. Really, this is your show today to share your thoughts. We're going to go to our bottom of the hour news break. When we come back, a few more moments of this, and then we'll talk with FC Tucson. By the way, Matt, I'm excited for tomorrow's show. The new reporter covering the Arizona Wildcats is going to be on the program. I just wanted to take a brief moment of levity, maybe, and slip that in and say that's going to be part of our Friday show tomorrow ahead of the San Diego State game. And really, the community has really come around the U of A football team as a small piece of what makes Tucson, Tucson. And we'll have that on the show tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that. I think Kim Becker's her name, new to Tucson, covering the Arizona Wildcats football team.
All right.
So that'll be good. That'll be good. Matt, let's go ahead and spin us away to our bottom of the hour news break. Again, you're listening to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser here on AM 1030 KVY The Voice, coming to you live out of the Common Workspace Studios. We'll get to some sponsor messages, some news at the bottom. We'll be back in just a few short moments. Continue this hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. Don't go anywhere.
Is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Thanks for listening, calling in, hanging out with us here on this live drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, coming to you live out of the Common Workspace Studios on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. This is our 9/11 tribute and reflection show. I'm asking you, and you are telling me this hour, where were you? What do you remember? How did it change you? How did it change the country? The numbers say that the further we get from 9/11, the more we feel like it changed America forever. And I think that's an interesting summary of what Americans said in a recent poll done just a few weeks ago. At the end of the hour here, we're going to talk with Jason with the FC Tucson team about their 9/11 game this week that will recognize the men and women that keep our community safe with First Responders Night. And more. Let's go right back to our phone lines. It looks like Denise is on the line. Denise, thanks for hanging through the break. You're live and on the air. What do you remember about 9/11?
Hi, Zach. This is Denise. Oh, you said my name. I'm Louis Christensen's mom, and I listen to your show every day, especially when Louis's on. He was in grammar school at the time with his brother and sister, and I opened my desktop computer. I was shopping for houses, and I saw the image of the first plane hitting the tower, and it was so surreal. I thought it was a movie trailer. So I continued to watch and called my husband over, and when he realized really what was going on, he rushed the kids out the door to try to keep them from knowing this truth, and of course that wasn't possible.
Right.
So that's how we luckily his headmaster at his school dealt with it really well, and the next day he had a worship service, and we sang God Bless America. A lot of the parents came too and talked to the kids about it, and that song was wonderful to sing, that song, and to listen to all the words and the verses. So never forget that day. As the day went on, everything got worse and worse.
Yeah. Denise, I'm curious, since we have you on the line, I know you called, I think, to kind of share, where were you, what was that day like? And I think all of us can feel that moment. We can remember that exact moment. I know I do. Any thoughts, Denise, on how has this changed your life? How has this changed life in America? How would you compare September 10th, 2001 to September 9th, 2021?
Well, since I wasn't around for the bombing of Pearl Harbor, I had this false sense of security. And I think we feel it now again with COVID. We think we're safe because we live in America. And it's just a little reminder that we just have to be grateful for every day and pray for our country. We don't know what's going to happen, really. I didn't really think that before, is the thing. Yeah.
Right.
I thought we were indestructible, right?
Right. Denise, thanks for listening and thanks for calling in today. I appreciate you sharing. And hey, you know what? We have Louie on tomorow. So we know where Denise will be tomorrow at 9 a.m. Yeah.
I sure will. He's your best guest host.
He's fantastic.
Thanks,
Denise. I appreciate
you. Thanks for your show. I enjoy
thanks,
it.
Denise.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Keep those calls coming in. About five more minutes here before we welcome on in the FC Tucson team, 790-2040. And I think, you know, that's my curiosity question. You know, I was very young And I won't tell you how young, keep you guys guessing, but I was young, but young enough to remember, young enough to be impacted, but probably not old enough to remember September 10th, 2001, in the sense of, you know, what did the 80s and 90s bring to America? What was that American sense, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and how did that change after 9/11? That's my curiosity question. And if you're listening and you have a call on that, I'd love to hear, because everything that I look at, everything that I read of the post 9/11 world reflects what Denise, unprompted, really said in that last call, that there was a naivete, there was an innocence, there was an American obliviousness to what could be possible at home in terms of foreign terrorism, and then the way in which legislation was passed and surveillance and privacy changed, and a view of presidential and congressional power, of our role in the world. It all changed, but for me, I don't have the context, the lived experience of what September 10th felt like, so to speak, right, as that symbol of the pre 9/11 world. And so I'm always curious to compare what I read to what was actually felt pre 9/11. You know, I know for me, and even more so for Generation Z, right, who were born in the early, you know, early 1990s, late 1990s, they're called the Homeland Generation. Their view of the world has forever been changed. You know, it was interesting. I had a listener comment, not on the phone lines, but just in the mailbox, to say that there are some who are fighting, who are in Afghanistan, who left Afghanistan, who weren't born on 9/11. And that's a fascinating idea, that you know, up until a few days ago, there were men and women, you know, fighting in the I would say aftermath of 9/11, who weren't there, who weren't here the day that 9/11 happened. I think that's an interesting perspective as well. 790-2040, give us a call. I think we got time for one more call. If you're sitting on your phone, you want to call in, don't wait. Might have to cut you off. Hate to do that each and every time. So give us a call, 790-2040. Matt, that seems to be the theme. Is a change in the American mind about what was possible, you know, on our borders, that the water around us wasn't as protective, so to speak, you know, as we thought. One thing that I think is interesting is in this moment, you know, I think that through the Bush, Reagan, Clinton era, there was this sense that America had a role in the world, that America had a job to do of spreading democracy, spreading goodwill, creating good things around the world. And what I think is interesting is that in many ways, in my mind, 9/11 in the American mind didn't really bolster that. Right, I'm not talking politicos or folks in government or in Washington, but I think that we are seeing Americans, both Democrats and Republicans, become less internationally focused since 9/11. Right, this sense of a lack of safety, a concern about what's happening outside of our borders, didn't create necessarily more American desire for interventionism, but less. And I think that's interesting. That's a bit of a paradox to me. That's not to say that America hasn't intervened, right? We just finished a 20-year war, one of the longest in American history. But Americans, I think, overall, are less interested in intervening. And I think that's an interesting paradox right now. We're going to go to our last break of the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk to FC Tucson on 9/11. They're going to have a soccer game here in Tucson celebrating first responders. We want you to know about it. We'll finish this tribute hour of Tipping Point reflecting on 9/11 with the FC Tucson team. We'll be right back on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Radio by and for the people of Tucson. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
What are the community stories that define us?
Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to FCTucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. FCTucson.com.
When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk, or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at MassMutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings, and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI The Voice.
Good morning to you, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the Common Workspace Studios for this live drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVY, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. This has been our day. We blocked out this week to remember and reflect on 9/11. Again, we are heading to the 20-year anniversary here on this Saturday, September 11th. We've been taking your phone calls, really asking you, where were you that day? What changed for you? What changed for America here as we reflect this 20-year anniversary on 9/11? It's been an interesting hour. I think it's been a good hour, and I appreciate everyone who's been listening and calling in. Calling in right now, 790-2040, is Jason Chrisley with the FC Tucson team. Jason, good morning to you. Excited to be with you today.
Good morning, Zach. I appreciate you having me on.
Saturday night on 9/11, appropriately, FC Tucson will recognize the men and women that keep our community safe with First Responders Night, presented by Rescue Me Wellness. Jason, before we get into that, if you don't mind, could I ask you the same question I've been asking callers all hour here to kick us off? Do you remember where you were on September 11, 2001? What do you feel like changed for you? What changed for this country? Any reflections of your own personally here as we get going?
No, absolutely. And I actually feel like for my generation, it was our JFK moment. You know, growing up, we always heard from our parents that they knew exactly where they were when they heard the news. And I kind of feel like for those who went through it at that time, we knew exactly where we were. So I was working in a newspaper in Connecticut, and I was in the newsroom. And, you know, we had the TVs on, and we're on the southeastern side of Connecticut, so the opposite side of Connecticut from where New York was. But obviously, you know, New England is in New York, and the Mid-Atlantic region is a very small area. So it very much hit close to home for us. You know, being in the newspaper world, you know, we mobilized quickly. And, you know, there's a lot of first responders from our area that went down. a lot of folks that went down to see whether they could help out in the aftermath. So it was very much part of my world at the moment.
Jason, I think of all the calls and conversation we've had, no one has said the JFK reference, and I think you're absolutely right. My dad would tell me as a kid what it was like to watch the JFK shooting and the aftermath in the days beyond it too, where his family would sit and watch the news and watch the TV sometimes over dinner. And, live TV caught everything in real time around that scenario. It was horrific. It was imprinting. I think you're absolutely right, Jason. It was our JFK moment. I know it gets compared to Pearl Harbor, but yeah, I completely agree, Jason. I didn't know you were in the news business back then. That's cool to know, too. Jason, appropriately, FC Tucson on Saturday again is going to recognize the men and women that keep our community safe with First Responders Night. Give us kind of the taste, the sights, the smells of this game on Saturday. What can we expect, and why should we head down to Keno and see you guys on Saturday?
Absolutely. So, I mean, the first reason you should head down is because we're on a four-game unbeaten streak.
Yes.
And are in the middle of the playoff hunt.
Yes.
We have a winning team, and we're fired up right now, and we're playing a team that we actually beat to start the unbeaten streak, and we beat them 4-1. So really excited with what the on-field product is. But really, the off-field and around the field, what we've tried to do all season long with our different events and curating our different events is working with the organizations that touch it the closest and make sure that, you know, we're doing it in an authentic way, and it's not just, you know, a banner we're hanging on the game. And so we've worked really closely with the Tucson Fire Department, AMR, Rescue Me Wellness, the Tucson Police Department, to make sure that the stuff that we're doing in and around this event, does pay respect to the first responders, because, you know, they're the ones out there 24/7, answering the call at all hours of the day and nights and putting their lives on the line for us. There's going to be a lot of, different tables and different organizations there. We'll have a fire engine that we're parking, behind one of the end lines. And I say when, not if, but when we score, we're going to, make sure we get the sirens and horns blown off. So that'll be a cool ambiance. The Tucson Police Department is providing a SWAT vehicle, their canine unit, for fans to come and check out. The SWAT vehicle has their drone unit, so they'll have those on display. We won't necessarily be flying the drones, but those will be out so people can come out and check those out. We will fly in a helicopter, and we'll park it on the practice field next door, and then that will take off right at game time following the national anthem. The national anthem, it will be presented with the color guard from the Tucson Police Department, Tucson Fire Department. And performing the national anthem will be their pipe and drums. And so if nobody's ever heard the anthem performed with a bagpipe and drums, it is truly remarkable to listen to. What we're trying to do is both recognize the first responders currently and moving forward, but also recognizing that, yes, it is the 20-year anniversary of what happened in New York City. So we did partner with Climb for the Fallen, and we will have a large display right behind the end line that will have the photos and a short bio of all 343 firefighters who did lose their lives in New York City. And then the last part of that is pre-match ceremonies. So we're going to recognize, we'll have Marcella Hammond, Danny Leon, Ben Goheen, and Cassandra Moreno will be there. And we'll recognize them before the game. And for those listeners who may or may not know, Cassandra, was present. She's a member of AMR Southern Arizona. She was present when her partner was killed in the shooting spree in July. And Danny was involved in ending that conflict, ending that violence for that day. Hammond is a fire inspector and investigator in Northwest Fire District. And then Ben, who actually was just recently promoted from firefighter to paramedic, is the Tucson Fire Department's 2020 Firefighter of the Year. So it's really just our moment there before the game, before we kick off and after the anthem to recognize the people that literally are putting their lives on the line to keep our community safe.
Amazing. Jason, thank you and the team for your work there at FC Tucson. To not just put together a team that's now in a four-game winning streak and in the playoff hunt, that's on the soccer, you know, on the sports side, but to put together an event that can really bring the community together to reflect and honor the moment that happened 20 years ago. Jason, for those who haven't been to an FC Tucson game, who are listening to what you're saying and going, yeah, this sounds like a great way to spend my Saturday evening, tell us about where you guys are at, what it takes to get a ticket. Make sure that we know how to be there with you.
No, absolutely. So we're at Keener North Stadium. Gates open at 6 p.m. and kickoff is at 7 p.m. We do have a special discount for first responders. So we would definitely encourage the first responders who are not working that evening to come out and be honored and be part of that whole experience. But obviously, we encourage all of Tucson to come out and help celebrate the team on the field and in the stands. They can go to fctucson.com/tickets in order there, and they can also give us a call at 520-600-3095, and we'd be happy to help them out.
Jason, I might have missed it, and forgive me if I did, but you know what? I think that the ticket price to get into this is super reasonable. And I want people to know that, too. What's the range of ticket prices kind of here 2 days before the event?
It's anywhere from, $10 on up. We have a supporter section. We have a hospitality section. So there's a lot of different places you can. We have pitch side boxes for $20. We have grandstand reserve for $17. We have a lot of different options for kids and for people that want to come in and enjoy the event. $14 gets you in the gates, $10 if you want to sit behind and stand in the supporter section, stand behind one of the goals and razz the opposing goalie for an entire half. if you want to sit, it's $14 to get you in the gate and sit in the bleachers in the grandstand on either side. And like I said, we'll ring the field with those safety vehicles, and when we score, and hopefully it'll be repeatedly, fire off that fire engine and run the siren and the horn and get everybody jazzed up.
Love it. Saturday night, this Saturday, 9/11, FC Tucson will recognize the men and women that keep our community safe with First Responders Night. We're with Jason from the FC Tucson staff team to kind of walk us through that. Really great event y'all have put together. I appreciate you doing it. I want to wrap up with a little vision casting, shall we say, of not just, if y'all keep winning, what happens, right? Give us a sense of the playoffs and how can Tucson support you? And then I think we're still looking at the World Cup ahead that may be in the U.S. in a few years. If I got any of that wrong, correct me, but there's a lot to look forward to in the next few weeks, months, and years ahead around FC Tucson, which is just a great community asset and representation. So what happens if y'all keep winning?
So this is actually our only home game in September, but we wrap up the regular season in October with four home games, starting with October 2nd, which will be our Southern Arizona Heritage Night. The regular season ends on October 30th on that Saturday, which is going to be another really cool event. Obviously, it's the day before Halloween. It's right before Dia de los Muertos. It's fan appreciation event. When we make the playoffs, and I say when and not if, the playoffs are in November. There's a possibility that we could host a home game the first weekend in November. And the championship wraps up right before Thanksgiving. And you're right, the U.S., coming off a big World Cup qualifying win last night, a very much needed win. With the World Cup right around the corner, the thing I'd mention, especially about last night's game, is, the kid who came on the field and was involved in all three goals, Pepe, plays out of FC Dallas, not too many years removed from playing at North Texas, which is one of the teams in our league. And it's just an example of a player at our level who within 36, 48 months is having an impact for the U.S. men's national team. And that's really something that we're looking to build on with Arizona. And having with our academy program, with our team here, with our women's team, you know, developing players who in 2 or 3 years are playing for the U.S. men's national team and representing our country and doing what Pepe did with a couple goals and an assist and getting us fired up.
Love it. Jason, great to be with you this morning here, our 9/11 tribute and reflection hour. Of course, we're talking about FC Tucson Saturday night game, recognizing the men and women that keep our community safe. In some corners of Tucson, Jason, FC Tucson and what the impact it has, as you've talked about here, is still a best-kept secret. Really excited to be able to work with you this year and hopefully beyond to change that. We want to blast the story why. We want to fill those stands. FC Tucson is such a huge piece of Tucson going forward. Appreciate all that you guys do, and I hope many of our listeners will join you on Saturday 9/11 for the game.
I hope so. I hope to see everybody out there, and I appreciate what you've done. And we really do, you know, with events like this, you know, like I said, working with the fire department and the police department, the first responders, you know, we want FC Tucson to represent Tucson. We want to be Tucson Soccer Club. And so when people say, see FC Tucson or see the logo, you know, their immediate instinct is, you know, that's right. My team. You know, whether they know a player on it or whether they've been to a game recently, we want to be associated and be Tucson's team, and that's why we do events like this.
Awesome. Jason, we'll see you there, FC Tucson. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
Tucson, that does it for our show today. Hugh Hewitt up next, Bill Buckmaster after that. We'll talk Arizona football tomorrow. We'll talk sustainable tourism and pull the curtain back on remote work. That and more on Tipping Point on Friday. AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We'll